Okay, number four. Effective communication. Transparency is displayed, expressing everyone's thoughts, both clearly and directly. Okay. Now, this was, in any team, this one is highly essential. This is where you get a lot of conflict because of miscommunication. Not just conflict, but I guess misunderstanding because of miscommunication as well. Now, there are different aspects of that. One would be nonverbal behavior. One key element of effective team communication is that of nonverbal behavior. Any aspect of a message that does not involve use of language is considered nonverbal behavior, nonverbal communication or behavior, such as facial, vocal, physical expressions, as well as personal appearance. All right. So, yeah, like, let me give you an example. Huh? Kayan? Gans. Okay. Nonverbal behavior. Give us an example. Frustrated. Okay. So. Now explain what that is. Explain what that is. I don't know what that is. That's scary. Okay. Now, in any team, nonverbal behavior is also important. Like, let's say in a basketball team, the reason why Kobe's really good was because of Derek Fisher. All right, Derek Fisher dishes out his passes to Kobe. There was a time Fisher got traded to another team. Kobe did so bad that year. Okay, and the reason why they're good because they've played with each other for a long time. In fact, they don't even look at each other anymore. They could sense each other's there, the other person's there, and then they just pass the ball, okay, to the other person. And I think, and again, that's with time. I think it was Edwin was sharing to me kanina na there's the thing that's called strategic gimmicks, okay. That in these certain times that you actually build relationships with the team in these strategic gimmicks. Yesterday, I found out from May that they're going out in a strategic gimmick to Iloilo, okay, because of the peace affair, okay, with the whole team, okay, on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I said, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, isn't that a staff meeting? Okay. Okay. So anyway, but okay na siguro. I'll just give her double work for that week. Okay, but it's a strategic gimmick. Okay, number two, letter B is interactive listening. Effective communication of a team could not occur without the practice of interactive listening. Interactive listening involves asking purposeful questions. Okay, now how many of you know that we're so good at blurting out answers right away? That it's easy, it's quick for us to give a solution. When we hear somebody, madali lang yan, that's so easy, why don't you do this? All right? Or, you know, I'm going through a certain situation right now in the office or at work. Oh, it's because like this, you're like, you know, I've noticed and observed you've been doing this. So we already present a suggestion or a solution. Okay, interactive listening, it's part of communication, effective communication. Effective listeners also engage in appropriate eye contact and other nonverbal communication practices. Letter C is informative feedback. Informative feedback also serves as an important role in effective communication within teams. I remember I read this book by, it was about different management styles of different CEOs, okay, from Sam Walton to Bill Gates to Jobs to what's the guy's name from IBM? I forget. Anyway, and particularly he was talking about the one that I got was from Bill Gates. He was talking about corporate memory, and they invested millions and millions of dollars for that. Basically, all the information. He was just saying that for the team to function well, it would be good for them to be able to access every information they need for their job to be done well. And I thought about that. I said, okay, well, that's pretty cool. So I said, okay, we don't have millions and millions of dollars, but we have Facebook, right? So we started a Facebook group where we put in all of our, you know, information from attendance to everything. And also it has become good for information feedback. Like, for example, like whether that's assessments after events. Do you have pictures of that? The next slide. Do we have it? Okay, like for example, Manny Muletas puts up there, taxi outreach update. Sabi ng asawa ng driver, kung kami ay nag-undergo ng one-to-one, eh, dapat kami rin ay mag-Victory Weekend. Kaya two of the wives registered for Victory Weekend this week, changing lives, changing families. Okay, for Valentine coat, for taxi outreach, this was way before the outreach, what about Basta Driver, Jesus Lover? Okay, and then we would comment after that. Okay, next one. We had an outreach among the officers, army officers. We actually had generals, and what we wanted to do, because we had Love Different, and because of Love Different, we wanted to express love in a different way, to serve. So we had the post-Valentine, that's a good, I don't know where their wives are, but this is supposed to be with their wives. Okay, it's actually the soldiers with their wives, the officers with their wives, and that's it was led by Pastor Dennis. And then after that, we had next picture. You'd see the different. We would have assessments. Okay, next picture. Okay, like about, let's say one of the colonels, I think Romulus Robara, posted on the wall. Sir, thank you very much for a wonderful experience at Victory Church last Wednesday. I've never experienced such a gesture of gratitude from the people we serve. Before that, I was starting to think that being in the army is a thankless job, not to mention load na load kami sa mga endorsements lately, which we little soldiers have nothing to do. But with what you did, many of us that evening became bolder, braver, braced to take on our calling to serve God and the nation. More power to all of you, or to you and to all the awesome members of Victory Church, sir. God bless. Okay, and then comments after that. So it has been helpful for us to see, and I think there's another one. It's not just all good stuff, but you know, Pastor Dennis, I just noticed that some moms, even dads, bring their kids to Victory Group venues on Wednesdays. Understandable naman if no one takes care of them at home. However, most kids have become very familiar and made the sanctuary their playground. Is it possible to place that a place be set up for them, lobby and the ground floor and play area? Someone can perhaps volunteer to teach them to keep them busy while waiting for their moms or dads. Just a thought. So, anyway, these are sometimes we post these in the group, and then we all think about it. And in this particular one, we say, you know, let's talk about that in the Tuesday meeting, okay? Because this is a valid concern. We need to talk about this. So let's discuss that. So it's really been helpful, informative feedback. In fact, even in Victory Weekends, some of the things that has helped us is the feedback form. Because we realize that, you know, sometimes we've been doing, like in this setting right here at the fort, we do it every month. So when you do it that often, you think you're doing really well every month, okay? But, you know, it gets normal and it gets routinary. But getting feedback from people, from the team, and from even outside the team helps us. You know, you went too long, or, you know, the aircon is too cold. That's normal, you know, normal feedback. Or, huh? That was you. Okay, that was you. Okay, too cold, or many different, or that. That illustration about this particular story that didn't really help me. So that was informative feedback. Okay, that was really good. Now, let me see. Feedback encompasses any response, nonverbal or verbal, to the message of another person. When feedback is informative, it helps group members to understand the development and current status of a task. Okay. And many of you have heard of the principle of bouncing off. Okay. You bounce it off to your leaders. It was a huge lesson for me when I was in Galleria. Pastor Ferdy set me aside. Paolo, come here. Okay. So, and he said, whenever when it's a staff meeting, that would be the venue for you to bring out something. All right, well, and at that point, I was in kids' church. Bring it out, because if it's a big deal, then we'll talk about it. But if not, we'll just brush it off. But at least you bounce it off the group. All right, in any decision, major or minor, just mention it, and we'll just move. Because sometimes we assume it's not a big deal, and then we realize after a while it blows up, and you know, we feel, why didn't we talk about this thing? Well, because we didn't bounce it off. Or not necessarily in the huge venue, like a big group meeting. Maybe just call the person, or at least your supervisor. He said, because what happened there was, I made a decision for kids' church. It was, I realized that time already, but that it was already a big deal pala. Okay, so, okay. And he said, you know, Paolo, if you would have bounced it off to me, then I would have covered you. Okay, because sabi niya, when Steve asked me, Freddie, do you know about this thing? Okay. And he says, no, I don't know. Okay. Because if I knew, if you bounce it off to me and I know exactly what you're about to do, then I would have told Steve, we discussed this in the staff meeting. Or he told me about it. We talked about it over the phone. I could have covered you, or, you know, at least explained it to him about this decision you've made. So anyway, so I guess that's part of informative feedback. That's part of communication, okay? Isa Engelberg and Diana Nguyen, they had in the book that they wrote, Working in Groups, explains that informative feedback both, number one, encourages groups, and number two, provides evidence of their progress. Encourages the team and provides evidence of their progress, right? Because if we don't provide feedback, and then suddenly, during the assessment, how do you call that? The performance evaluation, January, February, I wasn't doing well pala. How come you didn't mention this to me? Okay. For 1 year. Okay. And now I'm in trouble because this was, you know, going on for a year and you haven't told me. Okay. So, malaking email. Amen. Okay. All right. And, you know, when we give feedback, it'll be good to have it specific. Saying, oh, you did well. That's great. Great that you say you did well. But, you know, you talk about the project that they accomplished and finished well. Okay. Maybe that would be a good thing to do. Okay. Letter D, or the next one, is conflict resolution. Okay. This is exciting. Conflict resolution. Teams with effective communication practices engage in conflict resolution as well. Okay, when people view, I'll say it again. Results when people view other people on whom they depend as the reason they cannot attain their goals. Okay, that's what conflict is. Let's say somebody drops the ball, or somebody miscommunicates, or, you know, there was a misunderstanding, then there is a conflict. Conflict may develop over differences in goals, loyalties, ideals, and it may reflect misunderstanding and miscommunication. Now, I know it never happens in this group right here. Okay? Tama, di ba? Wala namang conflict dito eh. Okay? So, we're talking about the people out there. Okay? Effective resolution of a conflict involves interactive listening and informative feedback, like we said, as well as collaborative problem solving and goal setting. Now, let's talk about effective conflict resolution. Okay, let's try to be a little specific. Number one, okay, pray through your anger. How many of you know sometimes emotions can really lead us to making dumb decisions? I've done that so many times. Wait until you're objective, but try to deal with the issues before they become big ones. Okay, and you'll be surprised what God will do, what God does to your heart when you start praying for the person that you're in conflict with. Okay, that's one. Number two is you initiate the contact. Don't wait for them to initiate. Okay, actually the Bible beckons us and tells us to leave our offering and then first be reconciled with the person that we have conflict with. The Bible does say also that the strong should bear with the weak. Okay. Number three, begin with affirmation. Okay, somebody's going through conflict resolution there. Okay. Begin with affirmation. Speak words of love and encouragement first, then receive fresh permission to challenge them. Okay. Number four, tell them you have a problem or struggle. Okay, that you have a problem. Okay. Don't say it's their problem, but yours. Own the fact that you have wrestled through dealing with this issue. Okay, a lot of it is, I guess, like marriage. Okay, like for example, I guess I'm having a hard time because when this statement was said that you said I'm irresponsible, okay, that really hurt me. Okay, so it's more of owning it rather than, well, you said I was irresponsible, so, you know, you've been irresponsible in the past, right? So, number five, as you bring up the issue, explain that you don't understand why this is. All right? Poor kid. Aim to clarify. Always give them the benefit of the doubt. Believe the best and allow them to explain themselves. When you speak, however, be loving and clear. Okay. And you know what? What is it? That's in Proverbs, right? One side sounds good until you hear the other. Huh? Diba? Diba? So if you hear, of course, your side, you hear the first, okay? Because you're the one who's going through what you're going through, and then you hear them out, and then see and understand why is this happening. And then number six, establish forgiveness and repentance. Connect the issue you're correcting with who they are in Christ. Don't conclude the meeting until forgiveness and issues are resolved. Number seven, compromise on opinions, not on convictions and principles. Now, this is very important, okay? We will differ on opinions. We will differ on maybe experiences. We will differ on preferences. And many times it's the conflicts arise because of preferences. All right? Not even on convictions. I wanted it this way. I wanted long bond paper. I wanted it all caps. Of course, there are rules, but there are preferences too. Okay? So, not on convictions and principles. Determine what you will die for. Okay, as a leader, okay, what are the things you're gonna die for? I think like these are the ones that are non-negotiables. But with regards to opinions, be flexible. Okay, somebody said this. I've always subscribed to it. Okay, blessed are the flexible, for they shall never be broken. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall never be broken. Janelle. All right, number eight, pray and affirm your love at the end. Close these times with prayer. Give them hope and future through your words. Now, this is what we're going to do, okay? I'm going to actually ask us to practice number three to number eight, okay? And then we're going to get feedback. All right, begin with affirmation. Actually, we're going to actually role play, all right? So I want you to think, if you get a part, as you get your partner in your tables, think of a conflict, all right? And as you think of a conflict, one would be the one who's offended, the other one is the offender, okay? And then do 3 to 8, all right? Could you do that? Let's practice that, okay? And then we'll get some feedback later because I know through that experience we can learn. Because there are ways to, people do this in different ways, and they actually, we can learn from each other with regards to how they communicate and what they actually say. So we're going to talk about this. So let's take a few minutes to do that, okay? So find a conflict, choose the offender, and choose the offended, okay? And then let's work on this, okay? Anyone needs extra time? Who's done? Who's finished? Resolving the conflict. So wala pa. Isa pa lang. Okay, last 1 minute. Okay, 10 seconds. Okay. Resolved or not resolved, finish your conversation. You don't need to resolve it now. Come on, guys. Okay, all right. Let's talk about your experience, okay? Affirmation. Okay, let's talk about number three. Okay, what are ways to actually say this? Okay, in your inner conversation. Okay, now I'm not talking about flattery. I'm not talking about trying to invent something. Okay, but talk to me about that. Ade, kamusta yung conversation ninyo? Sino yung conflict? Who was the one? You're the offender. Okay. Okay. So it was Evelyn who approached you. Okay. So how did you start the conversation, Evelyn?
Background. Oh. So the conflict is about the lost receipt. Of the amount is 1,000 pesos. Lost receipt of one of our staff, not me. So I'm the one reporting to Ade. Yes. So based on the policies and procedure, Ade is very strict with that. So. So she's lying on the policies and the procedure. But as a finance officer, I'm also in regards with the situation of the staff. So I'm approaching Ade to just give us because the policies is that no receipt, they will deduct the amount, the specific amount, the 1,000 pesos from the salary of the staff, which is the staff has 5 kids, so with the minimum salary. But our approach is for Ade to consider to give us 10 years to 10 years to pay for the 1,000 zero interest. So this is what Ade responded.
Ay, hindi pwede. The policy is so clear naman, di ba, Evelyn? We've discussed that from the onset. Na pag lost receipt, wala talaga. Dialogue na ito. Gawa po kami ni Skit eh. And sa'yo na rin naman ang galing, di ba, na you understand that treatment ng lost receipt, no reimbursement, or they need to pay for that. And as a guideline nga sa atin is, we need to deduct it from their pay. Yung so, dialogue mo dali.
So, Ade, tingnan mo naman yung situation. This staff has 5 kids and yung salary niya is just a minimum. So, if you just consider, nangyari lang kasi na wash out yung receipt because napagkamalan ng maid na wala lang and then yung kids na paglaroon lang. So, tunay na buhay. Nakita ko naman willing to pay siya but then kaya lang yung reaction niya. Parang 1,000, they have to pay pa electric bills. So, would you consider give him a chance?
Sige, pero pwede ba hindi 10 years? Bakit naman 10 years to pay?
So, is that yung restriction natin, yung sa policies and procedure, di ba we have these policies also that you will base it on the, according to the amount of their net take-home pay?
Ano, nakalimutan ko yung policy na yan. Nakalimutan yung kuha na policy. Nakalimutan ko yan. Oo nga pala, Evelyn. Sige. Anyway, first of all, I'd like to apologize for not reminding yung first part lang kasi natandaan ko eh. Na kapag wala resibo, walang reimbursement or pay deduction kaagad. I'll try to coordinate with our HR department to discuss about sa request niya sa pay deduction. And I personally apologize for not hearing you out, yung situation nung admin staff nyo, yung kung ano yung nangyari doon sa resibo talaga. And sorry for being, for me leaning more on the policy than people.
As always.
Be flexible.
Be flexible.
All right, thank you. Palakpakan naman natin sila. Now, talking about affirmation, okay? You started off with affirmation. What are, I mean, in your experiences now, ano yung mga sinabi sa inyo to affirm you? To the offended, oh yeah, the person who's offended. Did they affirm you? Is it the offender? Offender. In-affirm ba kayo? Okay. What did they say to affirm? Okay. Yeah, Janelle.
I appreciate you confronting me about this or telling me, bringing up this situation.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. If you're the one, kasi ito, you're the one who's the offended and you're the one coming to the offender. Right? You're the one, it's usually, sometimes the offender doesn't know he's offended you. Right? So that's why you initiate the contact. Okay? You initiate the conversation. Diba? So when you bring that up, let's say in that situation right there, okay, you know, Ade, I really appreciate, diba? I really appreciate what you do for our finance department. And in fact, for the past several years, our finance has had a track record. And I know I talked to Carol, a lot of it is because of you. And really, I appreciate that. And then you go down to the problem you struggle with. Okay, you know. There's just one thing I really wanted to bring up because I know that last week our admin staff lost the receipt, and my struggle is, you know, the problem I had was when you said this, okay? And again, you're starting with yourself, okay? My struggle was when you said that bahala siya sa buhay niya, without compassion, okay? And I wanted to bring that up because maybe I didn't hear it the right way, or maybe I just heard it because I heard it secondhand from somebody else. It might not have been the the right way it was said, or even the spirit behind it. Could you explain to me what was said there? Okay, so hopefully the person, didn't really mean it that way, okay? And then as you bring up the issue, explain that you don't understand why this is, and that's part of what I already said. And then, you know, hopefully the person, like Ade, you know, I really said that, but I now realize it was wrong. You see, the thing with offense, right or wrong, the person's already offended. You guys understand? So, whether you were the one who was right or you did not really intend to offend the person, okay, the person's already offended. And you can actually explain yourself away. You really can. You can explain, you can list down 10 reasons why you said what you said. But the person is offended. So which is why my posture is, go ahead and ask for an apology from the person, because whether you were right or wrong, apologize. Kasi offended siya. Okay? And there might have been something, or maybe it's not the what, but the how. A lot of times, it's not the what, but the how. It's the execution. It's how you actually you say it. That's why a person gets offended. Kasi tama naman yung policy eh. Don't lose your seat. Kasi, ano ka eh? Burara ka eh. Diba? Yung tama naman yung sinabi yan. It's right what you said. Na you don't lose the receipt, but how you say it, that actually makes a huge difference. Okay, now you know what? It's okay, and I hopefully the person apologizes when she says, "Burara ka kasi ganyan." Okay, it's okay. I let's pray. I know that God will resolve this, and we pray that So you pray and then hopefully you move on from there, okay? Let me see. Any other thoughts there? Yeah, Gans.
Because like this kind of method has been proven very, very useful, and I think I'm more of a question really, because there's some people who are kind of used to this kind of method, and so the minute like, you started with affirmation, they're like, oh no, something's coming. This is not from personal opinion. No, but like for people who are kind of used to this. Are there any, does anybody have any other? Because they've gotten used to that kind of method before. Sometimes they step ahead of the resolution. They see that something's coming, and from there, I feel that the impact of the person explaining himself or herself why he or she was offended was kind of dialed down or diluted because. He's like, I know something's coming, and therefore I'm putting myself on the defensive because he's starting out or she's starting out by with this method. I know of at least two volunteers who have gotten that kind of resolution style from different people in the ministry, and they are in fact sorry about it, right? But I think they don't appreciate that method anymore. I'm not sure where I'm going with this. I just wanted to just bring it up just because it was in the top of my head. How? Any thoughts from anybody else on that?
Did you have? Yeah, go ahead.
I think I know what you're saying because I'm not sure if I'm coming from the right angle on this, but I think for me sometimes also you have to be sensitive and have discernment in terms of. Like the personality of the person and how mature they are, you know, if it's somebody who's really like a first-time volunteer, and obviously you don't want to, you know, come down too hard on them and make them feel bad or anything like that, as opposed to someone who's been a pastor or a staff for 20 years and you know like the maturity level, because this is my personal opinion, but I've been corrected so many times by Pastor Steve that I'd rather just cut to the chase. Tell me what I did wrong. Because when I hear the, you know, Lynn, you're doing a great job, it just makes me like, I don't want to hear, you know, it, because I already know what's coming. And so in my case, it's like, compliments become a bad thing because I'm just waiting for, okay, what's coming next? But at the same time, you know, I want to be corrected if I'm doing something wrong. So my type of personality, I'm just like, Don't tell me what I'm doing right. Just tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell me what I need to fix. And like, but that's just my personality. I'd rather just cut to the chase. Tell me what I need to know. I don't need it sugar-coated. But to me, it's like
sugar-coating.
Yeah. To me,
some people think it's sugar-coating.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it really depends on the situation. Like I said, like there's certain of my staff where I know I can just speak to them straight because I know they can take it. There's other people where I know that if I did it that way, it would be coming on too strong for them and they might get more hurt. And so, you know, I think it's really using your own discernment in, you know, how much can this person take? What's their personality? What's their maturity level? And that type of thing. And you know, because there are people who do want you, who would prefer you. Just tell it to me straight.
No, I agree with you guys. I've studied a bit of the. I've actually read people who don't recommend the sandwich approach because of that whole idea. I think the term was accurate, sugar coating, and I think we can tell the difference when we're getting. Okay, you're sugar coating something. Leading to the real big punch, and then you're gonna try to sugarcoat it afterward. But I like the terminology that Paulo's using here because it's not commend or tell them what's good. It's affirmation. I think what it is you're affirming the relationship, whether that's a relatively new relationship or a deep, long, ingrained relationship. What you're affirming is the relationship, and basically you're saying, at the end of the day, I'm for you. And this is something I want us to work. I want us to have work. So I think that's the big difference. if you're starting off with an attempt to make, you know, tell you what's good about you, that's not the case. Because sometimes you just have to sit down and then say, you know, Krish, you know, I really appreciate the way we work together, and I'm looking forward to working together again. But there's something here that we've been doing, you know, there's something that we need to deal with in our working relationship. I have a hard time when you say this. It just makes me feel this way. And parang ganon, so you can just go straight into it. One of the things that I'm reading now, it's really hard for me to do, but they're talking about a culture of regular feedback. Meaning the moment you have it, you don't wait until your next opportune time. Yeah. It's the best feedback happens in 15 seconds. You know, it's really the literal pull together and say, just before we move forward, can I give you some quick feedback? Yeah, okay. So the guy opens his heart up to the situation. Okay, what's up? Then you go, you know, I really liked what you were trying to say. I get where you were coming from, but the way you said it really came across this way to me. Yeah. I'd really appreciate it if you don't do it again. That way. I think there's other ways you can say it. Is that going to be okay? Thank you. Then it's done. It's when it becomes this big, major event that becomes emotional. So that's what I was thinking.
Great.
I think also when you talk to volunteers, okay, you probably have to go this approach. Because remember, you're not paying them. But if you're talking to your subordinates or people who are working, you can go straight, but then put the affirmation after. You know what I mean? You can say, correct them. I mean, cut the sugar coating and say, hey, you know, I feel that in the meeting you said something that you shouldn't have said. But I just want you to know, because I think you're a great asset to this team. And I believe if you just correct how you communicate, see, you're affirming them. You're telling them why you're correcting them, because you feel that they're an asset to you. But with volunteers, you cannot right away correct. That's why this approach is, I guess it depends on the relationship you have with them.
Great thoughts. What I wanted to say, and I think some of you already alluded to that, number one, because that's why we wanted to start with prayer. That's why you want to discern what you want to say and how you're going to say what you're saying, okay? So that's one. You need to pray through that. Number two would be, like what Cricket said, it depends on the level of relationship. If there is a comfort level of go for it, just go straight right through it. Talk to them about the situation, give them the feedback right away. But ako naman, I feel, kasi it's really, I would rather err on giving affirmation rather than going straight to the cut to the chase and then offend them even more. You guys understand what I'm saying? So parang, I would rather go for this and, you know, surely maybe they're going to think, oh, you know, this guy is really affirming me because there's something that's coming after what he says. Surely, yeah, that they may feel that. But you cannot discern it. You don't know what the person is. Like what Lynn was saying, you know, Pastor Steve, just bring it on. You know, tell me, okay? But if I were Pastor Steve or me, I'd approach. Now I know, okay? If I have something, I'll tell you, okay? But if I don't know the preferences of Lynn, I'd go this approach. Because I cannot read her mind. Now I know, okay? So Lynn, if there's something, I'll tell you straight, okay? You guys understand? Okay, so I default to this. Okay. Now, next one. Number five, trust and commitment. Shared trust manifests in the fact that each are committed to their tasks and to the objective of the team. Okay. Because there are a variety of roles on each team, members must have a shared trust in the fact that they are each committed to their tasks and the objective of the team. And let's talk about trust for a moment. All right. Trusting in the decisions of our leaders. Let's talk about that for a moment. Okay. There are disagreements in a team, but when something's been decided on, you go out there solid. I remember I was in Russia with Pastor Michael Paderis for a year. And there were some decisions he would make in my mind. Okay, this is in my mind. No, that's not going to work. Okay. But after, I'm glad he did what he did because it did work. Okay. And but at the moment that he was making that decision, I didn't agree. But it was a very important lesson for me to learn. Again, talking about roles and function. God placed me here. He's my leader. I'm the one who is following his lead. And ultimately, he has an accountability to God. I'm going to obey him because I know he's praying through this. I know that he has a relationship with Christ. So I'm going to trust him to make this decision. Now, I'm going to verbalize and say, Jap, hindi ko alam kung bakit ganyan. I'm going to tell him, okay? No, Paolo, it's because like this. And he has been in the mission field more than I have been. And when he explains it to me, okay, all right. Then that really makes sense. So, so trusting. And I think ultimately, we all are placed in a situation like that. Sometimes you don't necessarily agree. And that's fine if you don't agree. I'm glad we don't think all the same. We don't want to be just yes people. We want to be able to say challenge each other's ideas and say, I don't know if that will work. All right. But once the leader makes that decision, say, you know what? Okay, after hearing everybody else, and then the leader makes his decision, I feel this is where God wants to bring us, then we all go out of that meeting solid and say, okay, let's do this thing. Okay, and not go out into pockets after the meeting and say, I don't know why Paolo said that. You know, may aligang dito. I don't know what Carlos was thinking. Why? You know, no need to do that. Okay, because that doesn't really build trust. That doesn't really build effective team. Now, as a leader, okay. Number two. Let's go ahead and number two. Talk about number two. Empowerment. Okay, we are able to accomplish more with each other. Okay. See, when you talk about empowerment, it's more than just delegation. Sometimes we say we think delegation so that we can get the job off our hands so that we don't have to do those things, okay, because we don't like doing them. That's not, empowerment is really not delegation. Empowerment is duplicating yourself, finding that person, reproduce yourself so that that person can do and even do a better job than you have been doing. Again, that takes a lot of security, doesn't it? Okay, that person actually does a better job and gets, appreciation and likes on Facebook more than you do, okay? Because of a good job they did. I've always subscribed to this, and Carlos stole that statement, okay? I know I'm not the smartest. I just happen to be the leader. And when I heard that from a podcast before, I just said, that's true. Okay, and I was sharing this in the lead pastor's staff dev. You know, I said, and sometimes, how many of you know, insecurity will show up. We all have our own insecurities. My insecurity shows up sometimes. It's like, I don't know if I'm the guy. I struggled with Pastor Joey for 3 months, okay, when he pulled me out of kids ministry. I always said, I'm going to die as a kids pastor. Okay, I'm going to be in a coffin with a grin on my face as a kid's pastor. Okay, and he says, no, you know, somebody, you know, I feel I need to delegate because I'm going to go Asia and all this. I said, okay, but I don't know if I'm the guy. Okay, I still don't think I'm the guy. But, you know, why are you calling me to be the leader of this team? So, but, you know, he's empowered. I think about Mark Tusoy, who is, you know, the kid's pastor now here at the Fort. With the 11 years of experience, I can actually say, Mark, you know, do this and do that, okay? Or, you know, basing on my 11 years, why don't you do this thing? But you see, Mark is on the ground more than I am right now in terms of kids ministry. I've been out of kids ministry 3 years. So I don't know the currents and the trends these days of kids ministry. So for me to step in that situation and say, and pull the trigger and say, Mark, this is what we need to do, that's unfair for him. And I'm actually disempowering him because I'm telling him, you're not doing a good job by me stepping in that situation. Okay? So I remember when he made that decision of not joining the series anymore, because used to be the series were concurrent with our adult series, and he was pushing to have a separate series for the children, because it will help the kids. It will be like building blocks. They've already put together a 3-year curriculum of these are the things we want to build in the next 3 years in the lives of the children. And you know, when you talk about we had a series on sex last year, right? I mean, that's a hard one to teach the children if we were concurrent with the adults. Or God and government. You know, they had a hard time with some series for the children. So these are, you know, sometimes it doesn't apply for the children. And I said, okay, then with all the things that are considered, go for it, okay? And it's working really, really well, because now they're 3 months in advance in their preaching. They're able to give the materials 3 months way ahead to the teachers. It's not the Saturday before or the week before or actually the night before. Now, kasi it's the night before. Kasi kung concurrent ka sa series, ngayon, kasi the pastors will work on the series Tuesday. Right? You guys understand? Okay. So, which means maipapasa pa yung material for the kids' church teachers, what, Friday, Saturday? Kasi they're put together. So, now, it's 3 months in advance and less stress for the teachers. Okay, now, third is acceptance. We all have roles to play in a team, and I won't explain this further because we talked about this earlier. Again, acceptance of the role. We all are called, and we all have a role to play. And then fourth would be motivation, inspiring one another. Okay. Number six, go ahead and let's go ahead and take a break. Okay, and then we'll move on to number six.